Well, this morning I'm going to start a new series for you. Every so often I like to do a little series, and this is going to be like a seven or eight part series. But it's a new series entitled The Mystery of Unanswered Prayer. You see, down through the years, I've wondered, and I know many other people have wondered, about the mystery of unanswered prayer. Why sometimes do our prayers go unanswered? Why does God answer some prayers and not others? Why do some prayers seemingly just go unnoticed, unanswered? What's happening when we pray and pray and pray and no answers are forthcoming? We don't get any response from God. At times it seems like God might not be listening, or maybe he doesn't care enough. And unfortunately, too many times, the reason people give why prayers go unanswered usually fall in two categories. Well, you don't have enough faith, or there's something wrong in your life. Some sin that's causing a disconnect with God. And I will admit those are two reasons why prayers go unanswered, and we'll talk about those in a few weeks. But there are many other reasons the Bible gives for unanswered prayer. And so we're going to take a look these next 7 weeks or so about the reasons for unanswered prayer. But as I got thinking about unanswered prayer, I got thinking about the most famous prayer in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer, and how, as we look at the Lord's Prayer, it kind of gives us the answer to why our prayers don't go unanswered. It's kind of the answers. If we pray the Lord's Prayer, it shows us the correct way of wondering how our prayers go unanswered. So we're going to use the Lord's Prayer to answer many of the mysteries of answered prayer. So let's look at the Lord's Prayer this morning. I got it posted up on the screen. Ooh, that's a little small. But it's also printed in your bulletin, I believe. So I'm going to read it out loud, and I want you to follow along. Read it out loud with me as we read the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." You see, there are many answers that we see in that prayer about why our prayers go unanswered. And as we look at these six phrases over these next 6 or 7 weeks, we will see these answers to the mystery of unanswered prayer. And we see the first one there in that first passage of Scripture. Our prayers are too small sometimes. You see, one of the first reasons why I found in the Bible that our prayers are not answered is because God wants something much bigger and much better for us than what we pray. Our prayers are just too small. We do not pray with the fact that God is our loving Heavenly Father in mind. You see, right there at the beginning it says, "Our Father who is in heaven." And how much he wants to lavish his love upon us and give us gifts with us in mind. You see, sometimes our prayers are small because our focus on God is too small. Our prayers are unanswered because we treat God as someone not big enough to answer the prayers. As I said this morning in children's church, God is so much bigger than sometimes we even think. And if we would receive what God we ask for from God in such a small way, we'd be kind of, in essence, robbing God of all the wonderful things he wants to give to us in our prayers. You see, Jesus kind of started this prayer out by teaching his disciples how to pray by addressing God in a number of different ways. "God Almighty, we come before you," type of thing. Or "Gracious God," or even "Dear Lord," emphasizing the lordship of Jesus. Or "Dear God of the heavenly host," or even one of the other biblical names of God, like Yahweh or El Shaddai. He could have come at this prayer in any number of ways. But Jesus says, no, when I want my disciples to pray, I want them to think of God as a Father. That's the image of mind that I want people to start to think about when they think about bringing their quest to God. Because God is a Father. He wanted that focus on a father-child relationship Because it is a relationship. It's a different relationship than between than God Almighty or Lord. Because Lord has that master-servant relationship that just doesn't match what God wanted, what Jesus wanted his disciples to think about. Or a mighty God. Talking about God's power. Yes, God has the power and he's almighty. But coming to God as a father is that different relationship. When we come to God as a father, it has a more loving nature, gentle, caring, a personal, relational name of God. And so I think our Father is a perfect introduction to this prayer because he is a father relationship with us. And a father treats his kids lovingly. Matthew chapter 7, just a few chapters later here in the Lord's Prayer, expands upon this thought. It says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And I like what he says here then. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? I think we need to look at this verse and apply the fatherhood of Jesus, of God, to this passage. Because God is a father. And he's a great father at that. And he says, you know, you fathers down on earth, you're evil. And you even know how to give good gifts. How much better does a great father want to give good gifts to his kids? If even an evil father can give good gifts when asked, how much will a great father respond? And I think we forget this many times in our prayers. We forget that God is a loving father who wants to give us great things. He is not one that's going to be stingy and hold back. He's not going to be one that says, I don't know about that. I might have to give you something different, like a stone instead of bread. God knows our needs. And he wants to lavish his gifts upon us. 1 John 3 says, how great is the love of the Father that he lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. Because that's what we are. You see, sometimes we come to him as scared little children and said, please, can I have this? Or if it's your will, God, if you can. Now, we'll be talking about God's will in a few verses later, in the next few weeks. But coming to God thinking, well, if it's your will, it's sometimes we come to there as an excuse. You know, if it's your will, then you can do this. Kind of almost doubting God in that case. We'll be talking about that, but sometimes we come to God almost like Oliver Twist. Please, sir, can I have some more? You know? But God wants to pour blessings upon us. He wants to shower blessings upon us. We sang on standing on the promises, all the promises that God has given to us. Or even the song, Showers of Blessings. You know, we sing the song, Showers of Blessings. This is the promise of love. God wants to shower us with blessings. And also kind of as I was thinking about this last week, it kind of reminded me of the prodigal son too. We read about in Luke 15. How the prodigal son goes away, disowns his father, goes, lives his life, runs out of money. Then he it says he comes to his senses there in the pig pen. He thinks, well, you know, my father and mine, I'm not sure if he'll accept me back as a son. Maybe a hired hand. Maybe if I just go that low. He wasn't expecting the graciousness of the father, of his own father, to love him, to hug and kiss him. When he came back, to give him a robe and a ring and sandals on his feet. He didn't expect that. He wanted to be hired hand. But he got that. He got his robe and ring. He got a celebration, something that he did not expect. But he got something even more. He got back into the family as a full-fledged son again. That's how much the Father loved him. And that's a parable of how God loves us. You see, our Heavenly Father wants to show his incredible life-giving love to us. But we just don't see how big God is sometimes. And unfortunately, our prayers reflect this unintentionally. Our God is just too small in our eyes sometimes. How big is a God that you pray to? Do we think of God as a loving, giving Father when we come to Him? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Give me these things that I need, that are important in my life. And so sometimes our prayers are too small because our God is too small. Or perhaps our prayers are too small because they just go unasked to begin with. You see, sometimes your prayers are unasked. We just assume God's going to give it to us because He's the Father. There are many times when our prayers are answered because we don't take them to God to begin with. We take Him for granted, maybe. After all, doesn't the Bible say He knows what we need before we even say a word? In fact, that's just before the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew. It says He knows what we need even before we ask. So why should we come to Him to begin with? But if you look at the context of those words, both there and then later on in Matthew, it's mentioned as a corrective measure. You know, God doesn't want us to come to Him as the people in the street corners. God, You're so great. Pointing themselves instead of to God, and or worrying about our prayers and coming to Him and worrying. It says later on, don't worry about these things because God knows what you need. That's the corrective part of that passage. But God still wants us to come to Him. And maybe we don't ask God our prayers because we think, well, maybe we can do it on our own. I know that's the case in my life sometimes. Let me see if this sounds familiar to you, because it sounds familiar to me many times. Oh, God, please help me now. I'm in the big, deep hole that I dug myself, yes. I did it myself. I tried to. Now we want God to rescue us from the hole that we dug ourselves in. Can You come help us clean it up, my mess that I made? But it's very clear in James, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. Again, we'll talk about the second part of that verse in a few weeks, but we don't receive because we don't ask. So last week we were struggling with some things, and my wife said, you know, we need to ask God about this because we just can't assume. We don't have because we don't ask. And so we had to go to prayer right there and say, hey, God, I'm sorry we didn't bring this to You sooner. But we need to pray and ask that You'd help us in this area. Our prayers are just unasked. They're that small. But you need to ask for something if you want it from God. I've seen my kids sometimes sitting around a supper table and they want something, so they try to reach for it themselves or they point to it and, I want type of thing, and we're trying to really cut down on that because we don't want our kids asking for things that we're wanting to give them by grunting or by pointing or assuming that we know. We want to hear from our children. Want them to know that we care for them, just like our Father in heaven. Or maybe our prayer is unasked because we're not sure if God is loving enough to answer us. And this kind of goes back to the first point. We don't see God as a loving Father who wants to give us what we need. We think, oh, God, I know you're a big God, and maybe you just don't see the little things in our lives that are concerning to You. You just see the big crises. And yes, Lord, we'll come to You in the big crises, but you know, the little things we can handle on our own. But that's not the kind of God that Jesus wants us to come to as a Father in heaven. You see, God is concerned about the big things, but also about the little things, about the day-to-day things. And again, in a few weeks, we'll talk about getting our daily bread. But God wants us to come to Him daily. But He wants us to know everything about us. You see, God is a loving Father who wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us not just in the big things, but the small. He wants to have that communion, that fellowship with us that only prayer can bring. Time with God can bring. When I was in seminary, this came true to me because I wanted to start dating. And, you know, how do you date someone? How do you, by spending time with them, by getting to know them. And God wants that kind of relationship. A kind of a dating relationship where we Spend time with God. God is not someone we just come to once a week on Sunday and say, okay, God, here's our request, and we'll take it from here the rest of the week. He wants to have that time with us. God's our Father. Prayer time should be a relationship, not a chore or something we find ourselves with. Well, Lord, tonight I have to pray. It's my time to go to bed, and I know I have to pray to you at nighttime, so here I am, and there's my needs. Okay, good night. Oh, no. He wants to have that time with us. He wants to allow us to know his heart as well as him to know ours. And you know, God is not scared of our emotions either. When we're mad at God, we can tell God, hey, I'm mad at you, God. If you think that's wrong, read some of the Psalms. There's some very angry Psalms about how David just, God, you're not doing what I want you to do. Come on. Start working, he says. God can deal with our emotions. So it's anger or hurt or pain or grief. God can handle our emotions. God can handle when we're upset at him. He's not scared of that. He's much bigger than that. So come to God with all your prayers. Whether they're big, whether they're little, whether they're angry or calm, whether they're in times of worry or contentment. Come to him first. Don't wait till he's the last resort. Don't wait till you're in over your head. Don't ignore him or take him for granted, because he is a Father, our Father, who art in heaven. Elsewhere it says we are to cast all our cares upon him, because he cares for you. And he really does. So, why are your prayers unanswered this morning? Oops. Maybe it's because your God is too small. Maybe you need to get a bigger picture of God, about who he is. Maybe your prayers are just too small. You need to ask big. Or maybe they're just even too, so small they're not even asked. But when you pray, look to a Heavenly Father who loves you, who wants to lavish his love upon us, because that's who we pray to when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We are his dearly loved children. Look to a Father who wants to have a relationship with you, wants to talk to us as children, and wants to hear from us no matter what we need or what we're feeling. And of course, remember the passage that many pastors use as a benediction at times. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Think about that in terms of a Heavenly Father in the Lord's Prayer. Immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. I don't know about you, but I can imagine quite a few things. Yesterday, Sam was playing outside, and he was playing fisherman. He had his wagon out there. He had put a little chair on top of the wagon there, and he had a little toy that kind of looked like a fishing pole, and he was fishing out in the middle of the yard. Imagination, you know? I can imagine a whole lot. But here it says God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Think about that. I kind of like how the King James also says it. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly. It's kind of almost a redundance of words there. But that's what the text says. Immeasurably more. On top of each other. Again, you have to go to different translations to kind of get the whole feel of this verse. It says in the Noah translations, he is able to do far more than anything that we can ask or receive or conceive. You know? He can do far more than that. Still another says, more than we even dare to imagine.
I like that picture. We can dare to imagine a lot of things. God can do more than that. So what does God want to do in your life today? What big thing do we need to pray about? Because sometimes our prayers are just too small. How big is your God? How much do you want God to lavish upon you? Again, I looked up that word this last week here, lavished. You know, it's one of those things. God wants to continue to do this. He's not a God who says, okay, that's enough. You've had your allotment for this week. I can't give you anything more. I'm going to answer someone else's prayer. You know, the dad said, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He's able to give us a few. He's able to bless us. He's able to, again, I love that word lavish, because it just seems like it's all over you. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we need to pray to. Ask big. Ask bold. It reminds me again of the passage in Hebrews. We come boldly before the throne of grace in our hour of need. And He's there to meet it. Our God is a big God. And He wants to lavish His big love upon us. So why are our prayers so small? Dream big. Ask big. God can handle it. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Lord, we thank you so much that you don't come to us as a master dictating what a servant should do. That we don't come to you as someone who is just powerful but has no relationship with us. But we can come to you in the relationship as a child to your dearly loved Father. How incredibly big and wonderful that is to think about. And how wonderful it is to receive that love in return. Because, Lord, we know you love us more than any father here on earth could. And you want to give us immeasurably more than our fathers here on earth could ever give us. And so help us when we come to you, big or little, that our prayers would be heard by you and that you would answer them in your love and mercy to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 364. It's on the screen. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4. My Jesus, I loved you.